Good morning. This is Commissioner Keller calling to order the Northwest Seaport Alliance Audit Committee meeting of April 22nd, 2022, and the time right now is 11:56 a.m. This meeting is taking place at the Fabulich Center located at 3600 Port of Tacoma Road in Tacoma, Washington. This meeting is being streamed live on the meeting page of the Alliance's website at www.northwestseaportalliance.com, and that's nwseaportalliance.com. With me today virtually are Commissioners Cho and Marzano. Commissioner Muhammad is excused from today's meeting. So if we could please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'd like to call on Darren Arakaki, Director, Accounting and Port Auditor, to introduce the topics before us today.
Good morning, Audit Committee members. We have four agenda items today. The first two are reports on our audits for 2021. That would be our financial statement audit and the state auditor's accountability audit for 2020. And good news, there are no findings. They're clean audits. So that should be fairly easy to walk through. Secondly, at the last committee meeting on November 15th, due to concerns from a commissioner of the managing members, the audit committee requested RSM and the state auditor's office look into the NWSA's rail cargo incentive program to ensure that the Alliance was in compliance with those program requirements. So the auditors will also report their findings on that review. We also have a review of the audit committee calendar for 2022. And finally, the last item will be a audit committee charter amendment item. So first on the agenda will be RSM presenting their 2021 financial audit results. And presenting for RSM will be Kevin Smith, partner, and Kayla Lipston, the audit manager. So one thing I want to point out is that this is the last year of RSM's contract with the NWSA, and they have been our auditors since the inception of the Alliance, and just want to reach out and thank them for all of the hard work and the partnership that we've had with them over the last 6 years. Also wanted to call out our strong partnership with the Port of Seattle. Of course, presenting and pulling together the financials for the Northwest Seaport Alliance wouldn't be possible without all of the help and guidance that we receive from the Port of Seattle. So I wanted to call them out, Rudy Kaluza and his staff, Lisa Lamb, Don Kelly, for all of their help, you know, during the year and also during the preparation of the financial statements. And also on the Port of Tacoma team, Brian Lee, Laura Gunthard, Joe McMillan, and Solomon Kim, who put in an enormous amount of work to put together the financials. So with that, I'll turn it over to RSM.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you, Darren. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for having us today. We're pleased to be here to report the results from the 2021 audit. My name is Kevin Smith. I was the engagement partner on the audit this year. And in the room with you in person is Kayla. She'll be the one walking through the brief presentation.
Thanks, Kevin. All right, I will get started. So first off, this is just a summary of the reports that we issued and the conclusions that we reached. So for the financial statement audit over the Northwest Seaport Alliance, we issued an unmodified or clean opinion. On the slide, it says that we issued it as of April 5th, but it's actually as of April 1st, 2022. There was no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies identified during that audit. We also issued an audit and report on internal control and compliance in accordance with government auditing standards, which there were no findings of noncompliance noted. And then in addition to that, there was an audit on, and report on compliance over the major federal program, so the Tiger Grant, and there was no findings noted there either. So that's the, both of those reports were specifically related to the single audit. So this slide is just a, an outline of our scope of work. So you've engaged us to form an opinion on the fairness and presentation of the financial statements as of December 31st, 2021. We also consider internal controls, the design, and effectiveness of those controls. And as part of that, we did look into the controls surrounding the rail incentive, and there was nothing that we identified that was concerned. So nothing to report there. The audit was performed in accordance with auditing standards generally accepted in the United States of America, as well as government auditing standards and uniform guidance specifically related to that single audit. So more on the single audit front, we were engaged to form an opinion on compliance of the NWSA's major federal program in compliance with the requirements set forth by the OMB compliance supplement. We considered internal controls over the compliance and design of those internal controls, but we do not express an opinion on the effectiveness of those internal controls. The audit was performed, once again, in accordance with generally accepted audit standards in the United States of America, government auditing standards, and uniform government. NWSA only had one major program for 2021. As I mentioned before, that was the Tiger Grant. So here's the, just kind of a graph of our audit timing. And so first, we originally came to you in the fall and discussed planning, which is, you know, we're updating our understandings and of the organization's internal controls. We're evaluating risk, brainstorming, developing our audit plan. And then as we move into February and March, we're actually testing those financial statement balances, performing our detailed procedures over, you know, the financial statements that were drafted by the management, as well as performing our procedures over the compliance report. And then here today, we're discussing those results. We've already issued the reports, and we're discussing our required communications. So this is just a summary of the audit and compliance work. So we really just, we've tested all of the financial statement balances through a combination of different procedures, whether it's confirmations, through outside parties, substantive testing over certain transactions and analytical procedures. Additional work was performed over journal entries and future commitments as well. We verified all appropriate disclosures during our review of those drafted financial statements and the compliance report. And the Tiger Grant is tested for applicable compliance requirements. So during the year, the significant transactions related to 2021, as we all are aware, GASB 87 and adoption and implementation of that standard. There's also the allocation of expenses to each home port, the joint venture accounting and related disclosures with that, and then the single audit over the Tiger Grant. Before actually I go to this slide, I wanted to clarify this, the single audit over the Tiger Grant. The Tiger Grant did close in the middle of this year, so this was the last year that this Tiger Grant would be audited. Is there any questions before we go into the summary of financial information? All right, perfect. So I'm just going to go over some of the key things that you'll see that are a little bit different this year. So both in the current assets as well as the lease receivable net of current portion, those are both directly related to, or the increase in the current assets is directly related to the adoption and implementation of GASB 87, and that lease receivable line is new this year. Also then the other assets, you'll see a new balance this year. Majority of that is related to the pension asset, whereas in years past, it's been a pension liability. This is really due to the fact that the market did more favorable than projected originally. So on this slide, the biggest thing I wanted to really look at was the leases deferred inflow. That is also related to the adoption and implementation of GASB 87 and is a new balance for the current year and prior year. On here, if you see the operating revenues as well as the non-operating revenues, there was a little bit of change in how those were being represented. Is now the lease interest revenue is not included in the operating revenues line item as it was historically, and now it's included in that non-operating revenues expenses net due to the adoption of GASB 87. And then you'll also see that adjustment down at the bottom related to the adoption to adjust the ending net position last year. The couple of items that I wanted to kind of go through on this is for the net cash provided by operating. This was really related to the change in security deposits year over year. And then also on the net cash used and provided by investing, you notice a pretty large swing there, and that's really related to investment activity of purchases and sales. Last year there was more sales than purchases, and this year there was more purchases than sales. So this is just kind of a summary of the Tiger grant, you know, the assistance listing number, the grant identification number. There was a total federal expenditures spent this year of about $1.1 million, and that was reported on the CFO. So as I mentioned before, our responsibility as auditors is to express an opinion about whether the financial statements prepared by management are fairly presented in all material respects. We've requested that management provide certain representations relevant to these balances and disclosures. For the financial statement audit, there were no significant difficulties, and there were none noted for the single audit as well. There were no disagreements with management of any kind. There were no issues discussed with management. NWSA's accounting practices are consistent with the accounting practices similar to other entities and are considered reasonable. We did not identify any internal control deficiencies related to matters that were required to be reported in writing to you or discussed here today. We had no audit adjustments, but we did have one uncorrected misstatement this year, and that was really related to an over-accrual of capital projects and an under-accrual of maintenance expenses that was identified later in the audit, and management determined that that was immaterial, therefore there was no audit adjustment that was recorded. So as we look forward to the future, there's a few GASB pronouncements that are coming down the pike. I'm gonna kind of just skip over this GASB 94 as I don't expect that there will be a significant impact to the Alliance on that. But for GASB 96, this is really like GASB 87 as entities are moving toward a more cloud-based software system instead of outright buying hardware. The arrangements are looking more and more like actual leases, and so they'll be treated more like GASB 87. So the next steps, actually, I left this on here just so that way we said we did it. The data collection form has already been submitted to the Clearinghouse website, and so there is no next steps after today. If there's any questions.
So Commissioner Cho, do you have any questions?
No, good, thank you.
Commissioner Marzano?
No, just that I think my favorite page is page 13 right now.
What's page 13?
Probably no findings.
Oh.
Clean audit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We like that.
Yeah, so. We like that too.
Great. I also want to take this time to thank RSM. They won't be with us next year, but, you know, have given us, you know, many years of great service. It's a great firm.
Yes.
And We have enjoyed your partnership, and thank you very much. Darren, do you want to speak to that as well?
No, I just agree. It's been a long and very solid partnership, and appreciated again everything that you have helped us with, and wish you the best of luck.
Yes, thank you.
Lisa, I see you online.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, next we have...
I got myself on mute, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, hi, this is Lisa Lim from Port of Seattle, Assistant Director of Accounting. So thank you, Darren, for the partnership and the great work with your team. Congratulations for the clean audit. And also, I echo to the service that RSM have been providing to the Northwest Seaport Alliance since the inception. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Great, thank you. Anyone else? All right, thank you very much. So now we have the State Auditor's Office Accountability Audit Results, and I'll let you go ahead and introduce yourselves, please.
Great, thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Sandra Grosha, and I'm the Audit Manager of Team Tacoma with the State Auditor's Office. And joining me today is Thuy Hoon. She was the supervisor and lead on your audit. And we are here to share the results of the Seaport's most recent audit. Before we get started, I'd like to note that the presentation we have for you today represents an overall summary of our completed audit. And to supplement this presentation, after the exit conference, we're going to provide a packet of information to you. And it'll include copies of everything that we're going over today, as well as your audit reports. So next slide, please. So this first slide is a message from Pat McCarthy, our state auditor, sharing a little bit about why audits matter. First, audits build trust. They let you and others know if things are working or what improvements have been made to resolve past issues. Audits are also independent, and they help increase reliability. The results are available to the public on our website, which helps increase transparency in government. And the State Auditor's Office conducts over 2,600 state and local audits each year. And those audits are conducted by auditors, excuse my dog, experienced in governmental accounting. And then additionally, the audit recommendations, if we have any recommendations, those are designed to help improve operations. Next slide, please. And I am going to pass it to Thuy, and she's going to share the accountability audit results with you.
Thanks, Sandra. Hi, everyone. We conducted an accountability audit that covered the period of January 1st, 2020 through December 31st, 2020. The purpose of accountability audit is to ascertain whether the Seaport complied with state laws, regulations, contracts, grant agreements, and its own policies and procedures. In addition, these audits also looked at whether in general, the Seaport has adequate control to safeguard public funds. So under the heading results in brief, you will see that our audit found that the Seaport's operations complied in all material respects with the applicable state laws, regulations, and its own policy, and provided adequate controls over the safeguarding of public resources. This means that the Seaport has a clean accountability audit for the year. However, there is a management letter that we will walk through that recommendation in the coming slides. Next slide, please. Thank you. In selecting the specific areas for further review, we conducted a number of planning procedures that incorporated reviewing the meeting minutes of the governing body for the period analyzing trends in financial data, conducting risk assessment with several key SAP and more procedures. We utilize a risk-based approach to select areas for further testing based on those planning procedures. Included on the slides are the areas that we identify for further testing in our audit. The first one, we looked at the open public meetings, reviewing the minutes for compliance with the minutes meetings and executive session requirements. And we also looked at IT controls, accounts payables, specifically we looked at the general disbursement and electronic funds transfer. And the last area is rail incentive program, which the audit committee has specifically requested us to take a look at. And we review this area for compliance with the terms and condition of the rail incentive program. The review resulted in a management letter that I referenced earlier, which we will be going over on the next slide. Next slide, please. So in this slide, we will walk you through our management letter over the rail incentive program. Before we begin, please note that the management letters, this management letter is not included in our audit report, but is referenced in the audit report. While still a public document, this item will not be published on our website. And we will also include a copy of this management letter after the exit conference is over. We'll email the entire package to you guys. And so we have included a copy of the cover page, followed by the first page of the management letter on the slide today. You will find a full version of this letter in your exit package later. And we will be focusing on our presentation on the details of the letter shown on the second page. And you will see that the topic of our management letter is rail incentive program. As previously shared, the Seaport received a clean accountability audit. This result means that overall, the Seaport materially complied with applicable laws, regulations, and its own policies and have adequate controls to safeguard public resources. However, we also discuss that we are required to bring to your attention any instances where we become aware of weaknesses with the Seaport's internal controls or processes. So in this letter, we have a short description of the rail incentive program that it ran from July 2020 through May 2021, and offered incentives to participating carriers that increase cargo volumes and identify inland ramp locations. Per the program agreement, in order to receive the incentive, the carriers needed to increase their cargo volumes, be current in all accounts with the Seaport, and give the Seaport access to their monthly reports from the rail companies. So during the audit, we reviewed the incentive payments to a carrier, CMA CGM, and found one payment that the Seaport made to the carrier when it appeared that this carrier's account was not current. And we learned that the Seaport determined the payment was allowable because the Seaport and the carrier were in good faith negotiation toward a new long-term volume commitment goal. And the carrier's accounts were temporarily suspended. Therefore, the carrier's accounts were still considered current. and that makes the payment allowable under the program. And we determined that this is an acceptable business practice. However, the Seaport initially did not have comprehensive documentation to show the ongoing negotiation between both parties. And then later, staff were able to compile those documentation to support this rationale. However, the Seaport should have documented this evidence early on and presented it to the Ports Commissioner to increase the transparency and support its business decision. So as the result, we recommend the Seaport strengthen its documentation process to ensure transparency of its business decision and processes. Next slide, please. And this one talked about the related audit work. We also reviewed the work of independent CPA firm of the Seaport Financial and Federal Grant for fiscal year 2020. The Seaport contracted with the CPA firm for this audit and requested that we accept this in lieu of performing our own audit. Next slide, please. The financial statements and federal grant audit was performed by RSM CPA firm. Based on our review of the CPA's work, we did not find any things about their work that caused concern or about his quality. There was no limitations restricted our analysis of the audit. And we did not notice any instances in which material misstatement on the financial statement or material non-compliance with federal compliance that may have resulted in fraud or suspected fraud. Next slide, please. Okay, so for this one, I will pass it over to Sandra again.
Great, thank you, Tui. So we have just a few closing remarks to bring to your attention to conclude our presentation. First, we're pleased to report that the cost of our engagement is expected to be within the estimate that was previously provided to you. And we thank the Seaport for its timely responses to audit requests, which allowed our audit to progress efficiently and to remain within budget. Those timely requests help us a lot and keep us within our preliminary audit budget. Our next audit is scheduled to begin in late September, early October of 2022, and will be an accountability audit of 2021. And the estimated cost for the next audit will be in your exit packet that you'll receive. And the cost will be similar to the current audit. No increase in audit hours are anticipated. Next slide, please. So we expect the Seaport's report to be published on our website in the next 1-2 weeks. If you haven't done so already, you can sign up to receive email notifications when reports are released. And it also gives you notifications as other news articles or alerts are being offered. In addition, some of you may receive a customer service survey. And we encourage you, as well as anyone else that participated in the audit, to complete the survey. We value your feedback. It's really helpful to us in improving our services and knowing how we can better meet your needs. So any feedback you can provide is appreciated. And also feel free to forward the survey to anyone else that might have feedback to share on our services. Next slide, please. And I want to bring to your attention two other services our office provides that are beyond our regularly scheduled audit and at no additional cost to you. First, our local government support team is available to assist with annual financial reporting and accounting services. They also provide one-on-one technical assistance They have various resources available on our website and a client help desk. And then in addition, we have our Center for Government Innovation. They're another great resource and that strives to help governments be better. They provide expert advice in areas like building a lean culture to help local governments find ways to be more efficient, effective, and transparent. They also provide a free growing resource database on our website that offers best practice guidance on a number of financial areas to help strengthen governments' internal controls and monitoring. And many of these resources can also assist with policy development as well. So we encourage you to make you aware of it and encourage you to learn more on how the center might be able to assist you. They have other checklists and resources on their site as well. And next slide. So before we wrap up our presentation today, we'd like to thank management and officials for their assistance and cooperation during the audit. Specifically, and especially we'd like to extend our appreciation to Darren and his team for all of their assistance and timely responses during our audit, especially during this remote working environment. Darren and his team were super helpful, and we communicated and worked very closely with them, and all of that made our audit go more smoothly and efficiently, and we really very much appreciate their help. And next slide, please. And so this concludes our presentation. We thank you for your time today and your participation in the meeting. And at this point, we would like to open it up for any last comments or questions.
Thank you very much, Sandra and Tui. Commissioner Cho, do you have any questions or comments?
I don't have any questions, but I did want to make a quick comment and express my appreciation for being flexible with this, you know, looking into the CMA deal. It obviously is a very complicated situation with them, and I appreciate you all going the extra mile to confirm. I also hope that our staff is taking this learning moment to look back and make sure that we're being proactive in record keeping and providing those records to our auditors. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Great, thank you. Commissioner Marzano?
No, I just I second what Commissioner Cho said, and just thank you all for the work that you have done. Greatly appreciated.
Darren, do you have anything?
I too just want to thank the state auditors for their work and for performing a very, very efficient audit. Hate to say I look forward to seeing you next year, but we'll see you next year. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you.
So again, would like to thank you, like to thank our team for doing such a great job in providing information, especially in a timely fashion. I know how difficult that can be to gather information, and if you don't get it in a timely way, then it's difficult to do your job. So I'm glad to hear that our team is doing such a great job and helping you, assisting you to do your work as well. We're also very happy to hear that there were no negative findings. I mean, a clean audit's a great audit, and want to say that there were no negative findings on the financial and accountability audits and on the auditor's review of the IPI rail cargo incentive program. And this is to members of the committee, unless there are further concerns on the rail incentive cargo program, I will report the positive results to the managing members at the next meeting. So Commissioners Cho and Commissioner Marzano, do you have any other concerns, or do we need to look any further, or are you satisfied with the results here?
I'm personally.
Go ahead, Sam. Sorry.
Oh, no. Whenever we have a clean audit, you just say yes and move on. So I'm okay with it.
Good.
Most definitely. You say thank you and thank you.
Thank you and have a nice day, right? So, but thank you very much, everyone. So I think, Darren, that brings us to the audit committee calendar review.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so on the screen is the audit committee calendar for 2022. As you can see, today's meeting agenda items are listed first. Our next meeting is on June 23rd, and we plan to request approval of the financial audit contract. So recall back in at the last meeting, November 15th, we requested a limited procurement for the Northwest Seaport Alliance financial auditor. And that really means limiting the solicitation for a new contract between the two home port auditors. At that time, the Port of Tacoma had already selected their auditors, and it was Moss Adams. The Port of Seattle was still in the process of their procurement. Since then, that time, the Port of Seattle has also selected Moss Adams as their financial auditors. So recently, and I mean really recently, in the last week, we sent out an RFP to Moss Adams, we expect to get a bid back from them, results from the RFP back from them in early May. So we will review that, and we plan to then present that to you on June 23rd. And if you approve of that contract, then we obviously take it to the managing members for a contract approval. Any questions on that? And then in November, we have our annual introductory conferences with our financial auditor and also the state auditor's office. And we'll have a draft audit committee calendar for review. So this is your opportunity, audit committee members. If you want to add any items to the agenda, please let me know.
So from the other commissioners, are there any additional items that you want to take a look at, or are you good with this committee calendar for 2022?
It looks fine to me.
Same.
Okay, I think we're good. Thank you, Darren.
Okay, thank you.
So this now brings us to one action item today, and today we're going to be recommending to bring an action item to the full managing members to amend the audit committee charter to allow audit committee meetings to take place virtually. And I'd like to call upon our legal counsel, Dana Henderson, to be able to talk about this.
Actually, Leilani.
I'm sorry, Leilani.
That's all right. I'm presenting today. Good afternoon, commissioners. This is Leilani Baranobis. I support the managing members, CEO and Deputy CEO of the Northwest Seaport Alliance. I am here before you today to request audit committee approval of a recommended amendment to the 2016 NWSA Audit Committee Charter to allow the committee to meet virtually without in-person attendance by the public and move this recommendation for consideration and vote to the managing members at a future meeting. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the Open Public Meetings Act was temporarily modified to allow public meetings to take place virtually with public attendance provided by telephone. The NWSA's pandemic experience has shown that virtual meetings can be an efficient and fiscally responsible way to conduct managing member work group and committee business. The current NWSA Audit Committee Charter provides that all audit committee meetings are open public meetings, presumably meaning they should be conducted in accord with the OPMA. Absent this reference in the charter, the audit committee's meetings would not otherwise be subject to the OPMA as a matter of law. The choice to make them subject to the OPMA is entirely voluntary. Recently enacted amendments to the OPMA allow for fully virtual meetings without providing for in-person attendance by the public only when, one, there is a state of emergency in effect, and two, meetings cannot be held in person with a reasonable level of safety. Because NWSA MM meetings are being held in person, the conclusion has been made that meetings can be held in person with a reasonable level of safety. Therefore, for the audit committee to meet entirely virtually without providing for in-person attendance of the public, both prongs of the test must be met.
Alternatively, the Audit Committee Charter could be amended to remove the requirement for them to be conducted as open public meetings. Further, our current Audit Committee meetings last approximately 60 minutes, and public have historically not attended Audit Committee meetings. Case in point, you can see we don't have anyone from the public joining us in person. The financial implications, if you were to approve this, is cost for in-person meetings are approximately $10,177 per meeting. That allows for the camera people to be here, our producers and their staff. A cost for virtual meetings are $4,611 per meeting. So the savings for the NWSA Audit Committee meetings to be held virtually is $5,566 per meeting times three meetings per year, totaling $16,700. In Section E, meetings in the Audit Committee Charter, it currently states that all committee meetings are open public meetings. Staff recommends amending that statement to all committee meetings will be held virtually and live streamed to allow transparency to the public. And with that, I'm requesting Audit Committee approval of a recommended amendment to the 2016 NWSA Audit Committee Charter to allow the committee to meet virtually without in-person attendance by the public and move this recommendation for consideration and vote to the managing members at a future meeting.
Great, thank you.
So moved.
For the purposes of discussion, could we get a motion and a second? We've got those ahead of time. So thank you both for being right on top of that. So for discussion, Commissioner Cho, do you have any discussion with regard to this or
no,
concerns?
I mean, I don't have any questions, but just wanted to say, you know, I think it is obviously a benefit to the public as well if we have these remotely, because then people can in theory join us remotely as well, and I think part of the reason why we don't have people coming to audit committee meetings or any meetings generally, committee meetings in general, is because they'd have to come all the way down to wherever it's taking place physically. So I'm hopeful that this will actually also open up opportunities for the public to join us virtually, whether it's by phone or via Teams, to our future audit committee meetings. So I'll just leave it at that.
Great, thank you. Commissioner Marzano?
No, I think Sam touched on everything that was relevant, and I couldn't agree more. So no, I'm all for this.
Great, thank you. And for me, it's a great advertisement because it's kind of lonely up here all by myself. So just saying.
Before we call the roll for the vote, I do want to mention and make sure that you are aware, while if you were to recommend this and go forward with this, we will continue to stream to the public so that they are able to watch the meeting. We will also post our meeting materials on our meeting's website as if this was an OPMA meeting.
Great. Thank you. I think it's also important to point out to any members of the community who are listening in today is that the Northwest Seaport Alliance has one standing committee, which is our audit committee. And that's why we do live stream. We have other groups that meet, but they are commissioner work groups, so they're not under the heading of being a committee, which would make sure that we would have minutes and that we would have the public have the meetings available to the public. So this is just like the Port of Tacoma. The Northwest Seaport Alliance has one standing committee, which has a charter. So just letting people know if they had any questions about that. So it looks like we have a motion and a second and finished with the discussion. So I'd like to ask the clerk to call for the vote, please.
Commissioner Cho?
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano?
Aye.
Commissioner Keller?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Unanimously. So do we have any other business or any other announcements that anyone would like to make?
We do not, unless the commissioners would like to say something further.
Commissioners, are you good? Give a commissioner a microphone,
yeah,
and usually.
Yeah, Darren, thank you once again. Appreciate everything.
Yes, thank you to the team for sure. So since there
I also want to say thank you to everyone for bearing with me. I had the honor of swearing in 33 new American citizens today at the airport, and so I appreciate everyone being flexible this afternoon.
Oh, good for you, Sam.
Great. Thank you. We're proud of you, Sam. So at this point in time, since there's no other further business in front of this organization, and the time is now 12:41, we are now adjourned.